Well, Gavin, you said you were about to say wee. You're not very wee, because the first time you came in as a 16-year-old, you were 6'6", so I'm sure you didn't shrink that much.
You can thank me mother for that. Too many good spud dinners down here in La Crosse. That's the way I put down to the 6'6".
Well, we'll begin with how you started in sport. Obviously, the family, the Carlin family, going back a number of generations, steeped in sport. Yes. So I'm sure you know you're definitely going to be involved. But you started with athletics originally.
Aye. So my family there, obviously, my father Sean Carlin, and for him, my grandfather John Carlin, they were instrumental in the creation of the Finn Valley Athletic Club there over in Stranorlar, and not just big and well. As a Carlin boy growing up, it was always, you know, the rite of passage. Nearly you were going to do get involved in the track and field, you know, and so I was heavily involved in the athletics probably from the age of, you know, 9 and 10 years old. When you start really getting into more competitive sport, and from that there, you know, you start enjoying the competitive sport. That's when I transitioned more then into playing with the Cur Athletic, and for years there combined the two, going over and back. Doing events in Glasgow for the Finn Valley, up and down to Tullamore, and doing various events, and just for the longest time, their athletics would have been taking the main role. And it wasn't until around 2003 when I was just kind of unexpectedly selected to represent Donegal down for trials with the Ireland team to be going away to the 2003 the No Nations Cup. That was the equivalent of the Under 13 World Cup for kids, you know, and. You know, and I wasn't really expecting it, but I got picked on that team and represented Ireland at the Junior World Cup, the equivalent of the Junior World Cup, and that's when me and my father, for the first time, we looked at each other and said, "Geez, we're not too bad at this goalkeeping stuff. Maybe we'll look to pursue that." And that's where the soccer started growing more organically then, just from that moment on.
And how did you get involved in goalkeeping?
Well, like I said there, the football. That was the main start, playing with the Cur Athletic, and like I said, I always loved the goalkeeping. It was more so the pressure and getting, as my mother always said, you only like the goalkeeping because you like bringing me home a whole laundry basket full of dirty clothes, you know. So
yes.
That's how I managed to get into the goalkeeping. Now it was from getting picked on that Ireland team in 2003 that really, you know, really boosted the self belief and showed me that. Like this goalkeeping could be a path to go down.
And you took it to a fairly high level, and you got involved with Crumlin United in Dublin. That was to get more exposure, I suppose.
Aye, that's correct. So back in 2005, my father, we made the decision then that every Friday after school, after done with school up there in St. Columbus, my father would pick me up and run me down to Lifford bus station for 2 years. Every Friday was by myself up and running up and down to the Dublin there to play with Crumlin United. Basically, that was just to get more exposure to the English teams cross-channel. Donegal, I know various players have been spotted out here in Donegal and got away with trials in England, but I just thought at that time I would get a great exposure and play to bigger teams. And from that there, I was very lucky to get away at trials, such as my first was with Charlton Athletic, and then that was followed by Chelsea and then Manchester City and Leicester City, and then the last team that I ended up signing for in the end was West Bromwich Albion.
And, you know, tell us about those trials, because many footballers from Donegal, as you say, get that opportunity. What are they looking for, and what do you have to do at those trials?
I'm not going to paint any pretty picture. With them trials, when you go away, they're intense, and you have to go into them trials on day one, showing them what you can do, because you're going in there and you need to prove that you're better than what all they already have. And when you go to the tryouts, there's no real big fanfare probably that this guy's coming from Ireland. You might, like, for example, there, when I went in trial there with Chelsea way back in 2005, there's boys coming in that same week from Brazil and Germany and Spain, and you're just one of a number that's trying to compete and do well in that tryout, you know. On those tryouts, even though you're 15, they put you in with their under-18 youth team and seeing how you can play into an older environment, and more put you in the training with the reserve team, you know. So it's a bit surreal going away, as I would describe to any young Donegal player around here now going away to them tryouts. when my first try out there at Chelsea, you go from watching these boys in match, you're sitting at the house watching Match of the Day on Saturday nights, and all of a sudden you're at the Chelsea training ground and they're walking past you in the cantina, and you're out in the training field with them. It's a surreal experience, but something that I would fully, if any young Donegal player is listening to this and has the opportunity to get away on a trial with an English club, you just got to bite the bullet and really go for it.
You chose West Brom. Did you get other offers? And having chosen West Brom, did you think that, you know, Gavin Carlin had made it?
No. Basically, I was never one to get ahead of myself. I was fully aware of the statistics side of things, that only 3% of players get away to play in England and get a contract. So I was only part of the 3%, and I knew 3% of that 3% stay over there. So I knew I was only on, at the first base camp of a Mount Everest type challenge, you know. So I picked West Bromwich Albion through totally. I was either going to go to Leicester City, and they obviously had Conrad Logan there, the Donegal goalkeeper. He was there at the time. I was going to go there because when I went in trial, I really liked Conrad, and I thought with the Donegal connection, I might go there. But I ended up deciding to go to West Brom at the time because they had Dean Kiely there, the Irish international, and I watched him for years. And they had Joe Corrigan. I know a few of your listeners might know him. He was a big goalkeeper for Man City in England in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So I decided to go there in the end, strictly because of the goalkeeping setup. And also, it was at the time where before the real crazy TV money came into the Premier League, and I thought, well, I better have a better chance of making it at West Brom rather than going to a Chelsea or a Man City, you know. And I remember that when I was signing, the pitch West Brom said to me, because they knew I was interested in going to Man City, they said, you know, we can't afford to go out and buy the next David James, because Man City bought David James for $5 million the week before, and they said, come here and you're going to have a better chance of being picked coming through our youth team. So it was my choice behind going to West Bromwich Albion.
So how did you get on at West Bromwich Albion? You had a two-year contract. How did it go?
The first year was the dream. Went over, and one of their other goalkeepers went out on loan. So immediately I was pushed into, I was third choice keeper at the club. And there's a real good atmosphere around the club because the team were up near the top of the championship. That's when I noticed the whole ethos of the club and the whole environment around the club is hugely affected by the first team results. So the first team, they were winning. They were top of the championship. They were going for promotion to the Premier League. So it was a real good feel-good factor around there. And I was very lucky I got in to the first team squad. Craig Shakespeare, he's the Leicester City manager now. He put me in to play with the reserve team when I was 16. And, you know, as luck has it, the luck of theirs was on my side. That day when I could meet a couple of good saves, and I managed to get a good few reserve games under the belt, and called up to the Ireland under 17 team as well. So, and training with the first team every day. So you're training with the likes of Kevin Phillips and Chris Brunt there, the Northern Ireland player, and so it was really it was a dream come true that first year.
And thereafter, in the next year, what happened?
That's when the luck kind of changed there. I went away to play for Ireland in the European Championships at the end of the season. And we were training out in Turkey, in southern Turkey, in the hard ground, preparing for a game against France. And I landed on the knee, and I gave the knee, a bad bang. And the knee just wasn't right the whole time I was in Turkey. So I went back to West Brom for pre-season, and they looked at it, and they told me I damaged the pre-patella bursa on my left kneecap. And I was like any 17-year-old, but I never heard tell of a pre-patella bursa. So after injections and fluid in and out and all different types of procedures, I had to have an operation on my left kneecap. And, you know, and truth be told, that was a massive setback. So that put me out the whole second year of the contract at West Brom. And like anything, you're a commodity, you're an equity at any of those clubs, and if you're a damaged commodity, then it's very hard for them to renew your contract at the end of the season.
So what, did you end your contract, and if so, what happened next?
Yeah, so basically your contract runs out towards the end of May, June, and they pull you in. I never forget it, on St. Patrick's Day 2009, they pulled me in and they said, we're not going to renew your contract next year. The club had just signed Scott Carson, the former Liverpool and England goalkeeper at the time. And they pulled me in. I'll never forget. I was kind of maybe laughed at him. They go, we just don't see you competing with Scott Carson next year. And I kind of chuckled to myself now. I was thinking, was that the reality? You know, you were meant to put Scott, the England goalkeeper, out of a spot, you know. So I just said, that's going to renew your contract. At the time, very, very tough to take. Like I said, it kind of makes you see then how cutthroat it is and makes you see that it's not all glamour, you know. So it was after that where I went back to Donegal for the summer, and I learned a lot from that time in Donegal during the summer, because I played for Ireland, you know, trained with the first team for months. I was expecting, you know, the phone to go off. I was expecting offers to come in from either Scotland or, you know, anywhere. But the phone, the months were passing, the weeks were passing, and just the offers weren't coming in. And that's when I said, I'll try maybe to go to America. I didn't have the obviously, I just had a junior cert to be named, no leaving cert, because I left St. Columbus early to go to England. So that's when the choice came on. The only offer came in for me was from Forest Green Rovers, and they were in the conference, the league below, League Two in England, so the fifth tier of the English pyramid.
And did you go to them at that stage?
Yeah, so I joined Forest Green, and they basically, it's like all the players on those teams at the time, it was a one-year rolling contract, and that, as you say, that experience really put the hair on my chest, because you're straight into an environment, and the manager, Dave Hockaday, he was Leeds United manager for a while there, puts it under no, you're not under any illusion that he is there, and it's a week-by-week basis, and they need wins, because he's under pressure to keep his job. Players are under pressure to get their under week-to-week, month-to-month renewal contracts. So they need to win. They need to play well. And you went, it was the only time when you went from an environment such as West Brom, where the players are arriving in their Aston Martins, their Jaguars, their Ferraris and such. You're going to Forest Green. The players, you know, not dry, the money is not quite the same. And you go into the changing room on a Monday, maybe after a game on a Saturday, and boys that were there last week are gone now. There's other boys in to replace them. Complete turnover, you know, on a week-to-week basis. And that really opened my eyes as to see, it's a, you know, once you drop below the Premier League Championship level in England, it is dog-eat-dog, and that's without a shadow of a doubt.